But before that, I'd like to introduce John Anderson, who is the runner-up in the prize contest we had for the best presentation last year. And as you know, there's one this year as well. And John is the best person to tell you what it's like to make such a presentation, how he used it, and what it's like to win. His presentation, by the way, together with a first prize presentation, is running continuously on a loop on the screen right outside this, right at the entrance to the building. So, John, would you like to
Well, while they're getting ready, I'll say thanks to Dr. Gross for the introduction, and good morning, everybody. I should say that, too. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be here today, and this is my sixth time, unlike some folks who have been here for every one of them. I missed the first two, and I think that's only because I didn't know about them and didn't apply. But it's really enjoyable to get back here each year, and it's really a pleasure to stand here and be able to talk to you about the contest as well today. I also would like to thank, I'm finding that this is probably the best one-day conference I've ever attended. And so those of you that are new here, quickly figuring out why that's the case. Those of you that are returning are back here for the same reasons that I am. And so with that in mind, I'd like to thank both Dr. Gross, excuse me, and Dr. Hone for putting these on, and in the larger sense, to the KITP for their commitment to physics education and to bring people together for these kinds of conferences and these kinds of presentations. So Dr. Hone asked me to talk a little bit. We went back and forth a few times via email, asked me to talk a little bit about what went into making the presentation, how it's been beneficial to me and perhaps in the larger sense, and then just some tips and tricks, which this appears it's not going to work. There we go. So these are the things that we decided on via email. And so in no particular order, those are the ones that I'll try to address as I go through this today. And starting with the shot of the where, and we all know where we're at. And I found that there were many more what I consider useful and interesting answers to the question how than where. So I went ahead and replaced one of the five W's with how, because I think I can give you a lot more information on that question than the other five. So first of all, my first suggestion is to work within your zone of curriculum. If you teach AP Physics and you teach calculus-based physics at the college level and intro course, that should be, in my opinion, the audience to whom you gear your presentation. If you teach largely conceptual physics, same story. That would be the audience to whom you gear it. And set a time limit. I can obsess on these kinds of things. And so that's my own advice to myself. And I did jot some ideas down, and you'll see some examples of that. And I thought about it off and on and put a few things down. But when I sat down to work on it, which happened to be the weekend before it was due, it was Labor Day weekend, so I had an extra day in there. But I did tell myself 20 hours. That's what I was going to put into it. And I got to a point at about maybe 18 and a half, 19 hours, because I was actually keeping track of it. I got to a point, and one of my daughters had downloaded a bunch of music that I was going to potentially integrate into it. And I knew that it would take me way more than another hour and a half to integrate this music into it. And I just said, no, I just stopped. And so that's where I left it. So you can take that advice or not, it's up to you. Your audience, I think it's probably in that order, is how I viewed it anyway. Primarily students and teachers, and then ultimately, probably the last group of people that would look at it as the interested public. And then the presenters here today, and I'll show you an example of how I tried to work last year's presenters into my presentation in putting it together. So this was one of last year's presenters. I found this picture of him, and he He was one of the tour guides in the presentation that I made, one of the four tour guides. And so I tried to work them into it quite a bit. I also viewed it as a standalone presentation, meaning that you know, you can see that the teachers may or may not use it. From feedback that I've gotten, so I've shared this with my own district, with the teachers in my own district, and then with a larger group of teachers that I have contact with. And I've gotten some feedback on it, and in two cases, the feedback that I've gotten is that people had substitute teachers use this with their class. And which, you know, may or may not work. But with that in mind, you want to certainly support the slides with notes and have a clear beginning and end of the presentation and see that it kind of flows through. The accompanying curriculum, I also tried to go for varying levels of difficulty, and I tried to set it up so that you could have the curriculum as something that they do before the presentation, that the students work through, something they could do as a follow-up, or something that could accompany the curriculum, or excuse me, the presentation parts of it. So it all depends, again, on how the teacher uses it and what they choose to do with it. And considering our audience, try to keep it flowing and moving and engaging as much as possible. So these are just some problems that I put in with my sample curriculum. So I tried to keep things pretty much particle physics related, and like most physics teachers, I have very few original ideas, but I'm very good at recycling other people's ideas and making them my own. And so I honestly can't tell you where these problems came from originally, but I know that I didn't write most of them, but they have worked their way into my curriculum. And then I also had questions too, conceptual questions, and that didn't rely on them doing any math at all. And I show this example because I also put in there additional suggestions for topics of study, resources that they could follow to try to find out more about it. So again, as things occur to you, write them down. So I happen to have an inspiration at that location, and I did actually get the whole napkin home, but PowerPoint had other ideas when I got loaded up here today. But I'll show you the slides that followed from that idea that I wrote down. So these are actually slides now from my presentation that I submitted last year for this. This is moving in now. This is kind of the Powers of 10 theme, if you're familiar with that. It appears the Milky Way has become slightly oval into the solar system, to the Earth. I chose this slide of Switzerland because I like the little mountain diagrams on there. And then into Geneva. And if you've been to CERN, you recognize where this is at. And if you haven't, just for perspective, this is the Geneva Airport right here. And this is sort of the nerve center of CERN right here. This is the city of Marin. And then this is 27K, the circumferences. So these are things that I pointed out in the slide, in the slide notes, so that a teacher could talk about that if they chose to when they presented it. And then we go down underground to the actual LHC itself. Here's how I worked the presenters into it. So I got to this point in the introduction, and then I treated it like a journey that needed tour guides. And so each of last year's four presenters were a tour guide for each one of these four questions. And so sort of in Pulp Fiction fashion, you saw that I already presented Raman Sundram answering question number two, but now I come back to the reason that he's in there. So more how. There's another idea at the same location. And that led to slides like this. So I had several slides where I had the protons colliding and some idea popping out of there, something they're going to study popping out of there. And the search for the Higgs particle was one of them. And then I brought this slide into it because I was at CERN last year in April for open days. And I took three students there for, they were student reporters. And so there were six groups of student reporters there. And this group of student reporters found Peter Higgs. I'll show you an example of this in a little bit more. But so they found Peter Higgs, and this is the courtyard area out in front of the on the cafeteria in at CERN. So there were lots of pictures taken of Peter Higgs, and then this was still part of my presentation, and I went into talking about how the Higgs boson can be described. And so you've maybe seen these slides, and if not, they're readily available. But in walks somebody, in our case, is looking a lot like Einstein, and then as they move through, they acquire this. But this is exactly what happened with Peter Higgs once the word got out that Peter Higgs was at CERN. As he tried to go from point A to point B across the courtyard, there were just swarms of people that were kind of following him through, so it was appropriate. So more how. I found this to be a huge resource for me when I was putting my presentation together. I don't trust my memory, but I do trust things that are stored electronically, and this did a really nice job. And then I also just directly took slides from the previous, from last year's presenters, and worked them into my presentation and gave them credit as we went along. So again, these are Raman Sundaram's slides. You may recognize if you were here last year. So I wrote my slide notes primarily with the teacher in mind, or perhaps substitute, as the case may be. And again, the teacher can treat that how they want. A couple of examples. So here's, this is actually one of Dr. McFarland's slides from last year that I used in my presentation. And if you've done slide notes on PowerPoint, you know that the slide notes go down here underneath the slide, and you can access them and read as much of them as you want. But for this particular slide, that was the slide note that I put down there. And so I gave suggestions, I gave some background on neutrinos, gave some suggestions on where to look for more information on neutrinos. And again, this is when the presentation goes or is being used. None of this shows up. This is purely for the teacher in mind. And then here's another slide from Dr. McFarland. And by contrast, that's all I wrote about that one. Just thought that I liked it, and I thought that they did a really nice job of it. And I had other slide notes that simply said, no notes necessary, just a supporting slide of the topic. I found these top two things really valuable for me. Every year that I've been here, I've come out of here fired up about the topics that have been presented to me, things that I've learned, and I walk out of here with great intentions of putting together curriculum and, you know, really thinking more deeply about the things that I've done or that I've been presented here. And but in my world, intentions and execution don't always coincide, and that's always been the case here. So it really forced me to do those two things right there, and I found that really helpful. That's helpful. Although I have a daughter going to college next year, so it was her prize money. I also like the idea that it can be used by the larger community of physics teachers. And like I said, I've shared it with a group of teachers in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and intend to do so with another group of teachers this summer at a workshop that I'm going to be doing. There is a certain amount of that involved as well. And then you also get some recognition for your school and for your physics program. And this is one of the things that Dr. Hone also asked me to talk about was, has it brought any additional recognition? So I thought I'd show a couple of examples of that. This is what was mailed to me, which is, by the way, on my wall now, in a frame. I have spent the last year and a half teaching at the University of Minnesota on a grant for a phys tech program. So the university really jumped on this and put this on their homepage for the physics department, and it made other sorts of news. So that was one example of it right there. This is the newspaper for the community in which my high school is located. And then the national press got a hold of it, and then the magazines got a hold of it. And I figure any time you're sharing billing with Johnny Depp, you know, it's... I don't know who this is, but that's not real. Okay. So again, in my case, I started last year. And when I was sitting here on May 31st, I knew the prize was the contest was out there, and so I was sort of looking at things as I was sitting here through those eyes of what would be what would I find useful in making a presentation, and potentially what would my students find useful down the road. So I would encourage you, if you haven't been already, and you intend to enter the contest, look for some ideas that you think you can incorporate and just jot those down. I think this is also important. For lack of a better description or better term, an interpreter, I find that I come out of here with lots of good ideas, but part of my job as a teacher is to make that accessible to my students. And so there is a certain amount of interpretation, I think, that goes with that. And so that's also something that I was kind of thinking about last year as I was sitting here too, is looking for ways that I can make this more accessible to my students. Then of course there's that issue of finishing the school year and pay attention to the KITP deadline. Fortunately for me, last year it got extended a month, and so that helped a lot, because it gave me until Labor Day weekend to actually do it. And that's all I have. So, questions?
Like a few questions.
Any questions? It was such a clear.
Well, this is more of a comment than a question. I mean, I started this project, did about 15 or 20 slides, and then I started to look at the stuff that was out there, and I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm just doing a cut and paste thing here. I gave it up because I like to do everything as much as possible in my own words and images. And, you know, I really honestly didn't have the background to do that, and I didn't want to take other people's stuff. So I said, oh, maybe next year I'll be able to do it because I know more about that particular thing. You know, I do a lot of PowerPoints, you know, and, you know, presentations in public forums and things like that. And all of my stuff is self-generated and, you know, completely mine. And I don't feel comfortable in a cut and paste role, you know. I know you have to do a lot of that because we're not scientists, you know. But I gave it up because I saw the stuff that was out there. I'm reinventing the wheel. So I said, well, maybe next year I'll be able to do a better job because I'll know a little more about the particular thing, you know. But that's why I gave up on the project, because, I mean, I looked at what I had, and I looked all original stuff, and I looked at the stuff that was out there done by the pros, and I said, well, okay, that's done. Don't need to do it, you know, and I kind of gave it up. So it wasn't a question. It was just an editorial comment.
No, I understand.
Sure. I have a comment to that, because I was one of the people who entered the competition. I don't think I've had an original idea in my life, but I was able to take bits and pieces of other people, and I did put it together the way I wanted my students to see it. So I think it doesn't have to be your own. You're using it for a purpose, and if you can define the purpose, you can finish, you know, you can accomplish that without it being your own words.
I would agree, and that's what was my thought as you were making your comment, is that I saw my role as much as synthesizer in a way that I thought would work for my audience as I did. Frankly, I wasn't bothered by using other people's material as long as I give them credit.
When the physicists stand up here in front of you, like the previous two lectures, they're not only describing their own work, they're describing the work of people like Einstein, Heisenberg, and Bohr, and many of their colleagues. They're summarizing whole scientific fields for this audience. So they're also stealing. And I don't believe you, by the way, when you say you haven't had an original idea. And some of the most difficult original ideas are exactly how to translate what you know from your own work, but from the work of all your colleagues, dead and alive, for different audiences. And so what you're expert on, that, you know, we would, I think, you know, find it perhaps harder to do, is how to synthesize everything you get out of presentations here to you, to presentations for your students, who you know a lot better than we do, and have a lot more experience with. And that's the really added value.